Do you think there's enough public toilets in Halifax?
There's enough, but they're disgusting.
You think they're dirty when you go in there?
Oh, yeah, they are. We don't use them. I don't use them. I wait until I get home.
And you have kids, though?
Yeah, and they won't sit on it either. They'll pee, but that's it.
What if you guys are out on the street?
Yeah.
Like going for a walk somewhere?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, well, I wait until I get home. You know, you have to hold it or you get someplace where you can use it, right? But for the children, I have two boys, so they can go behind a tree or whatever. You know what I mean?
I never imagined I would admit this on the radio, but I can relate to all those scenarios. Does it seem familiar to you? What do? If you have to use the bathroom and there's no place to go, or the place you're supposed to go is just gross, maybe even unsafe. Maybe you're in a wheelchair and you can't always get the wheelchair through the door. Or maybe you've got your kid in a stroller. You're going to leave the stroller outside with all your stuff? You're going to leave the kid outside? What happens when nature calls? I'm Alex Mason. That's what we're talking about this morning on Maritime Magazine. Leslie Lowe brings us a toilet tale from Halifax. It's the region's biggest city and a place where you'd think people'd be able to find a decent place to pee. Here's her documentary.
When nature calls.
So have you been caught without a bathroom?
Yes, actually, we've been to the Commons on the weekend, the time when most families and things are there, and been with a pile of four kids or something, gone to the bathroom, and it's locked at that time of day, like midday on the weekend on the Commons. So,
in the summer or spring?
Yeah, in the summer. Nowhere to pee at all.
Okay, beautiful day, like nice day, summer, middle of the day, people are out. No bathroom.
Nothing open. Locked. Bathroom door's locked.
What'd you do?
Actually, I had my cell phone, so I phoned the number, but of course I got no response. They will home, I guess. Weekend, you know, day off.
They weren't out on the common.
Well, look at the moon! The moon!
Children's moon!
Lily Rainham is out on the Halifax Common. If you haven't seen it before, it's this big green space in the middle of downtown Halifax. Sports fields, playground. It's where the Rolling Stones and Keith Urban played.
I'm finding a place to swing.
Lily is up and down her favorite tree. She's picking the last of the season's fluffy dandelions near bushes where it's entirely possible she's pulled down her pants and taken a pee. Her mom, Tara Wright, is pushing one-year-old Wyatt in the family's double stroller.
We always make sure that you pee before we leave the house, don't we? Why do we do that? Because we don't want you to have to pee when we're walking somewhere.
Tara does this walk from her house to downtown through the Commons at least twice a day, 7 days a week.
We do a try, so we have to try to pee before leaving the house.
And you guys are a carless family.
We're a carless family. We've had no car for 7 years.
Watch this. Okay, look at me.
Lily, how do we get around the city? We walk and bike and sometimes bus, but mostly walk and bike everywhere. We find on the peninsula you don't really need to use the bus very much. And we just make sure that we, everything that we need and everything we do is around the vicinity of our home and our work.
Well, almost everything.
Want me to have your hat? Want me to take your hat? Hey, Lily, have you ever been into these bathrooms before?
I think I did.
Yeah, do you remember?
Tara and the kids and I are almost to the public bathrooms on the north side of the Common.
Yeah, I took Lily into the bathrooms at the Commons once, these new bathrooms. And as soon as I got in there, and I actually had run about a kilometer to get her there because we were at the end of the Blue Nose Marathon, and all of a sudden she said, I gotta pee! And I had her in our chariot, and I was running with both kids, and there were no bathrooms to be found downtown because lineups were ridiculously long for the porta-potties that were there, and I thought, oh, I'll just run her over to the Commons. And I got into the bathrooms, and they were so disgusting. First of all, there are no toilet seats in there. And I understand why there are no toilet seats, because they don't want people to rip them off or deface them. But it makes children using those toilets really difficult because a three-year-old just doesn't quite get the idea of squatting over a toilet.
Any parents cringing out there? Sing it, sister.
And it was so dirty that I took her out and bushes right over there, pulled her pants down and had her pee in the bushes. And that's kind of what we do now when we're in the commons. Hey Lily, we're going to go into the bathroom I think right now.
But for today, just for this little toilet tour, we're going to check out the bathrooms.
Shall we go in here? Can you make sure just to...
Here it comes.
Not touch anything, please. Because it's kind of gross at times. Oh, actually, it's pretty good right now. Okay, let's look inside here.
Okay, so not so bad today. Not great, but not bad.
Does anyone have to pee before we leave?
Yeah, anybody have to pee?
But there is another problem.
It's never posted when they're going to be open, when they aren't. So you can never be sure of using them because I have gone before and they have been locked, mostly in the winter.
Okay, so issues with these bathrooms specifically, North Commons bathrooms,
yeah.
Availability.
Yeah.
And cleanliness. So yeah. How could we solve those problems if they were open 24 hours a day?
Well, I understand why they might not want them to be open 24 hours a day, but it would be nice if they posted when they would be open so I know whether I can rely on them or not. Yeah, we can go to that tree. And cleanliness, you know, I have mixed feelings about this because, you know, the city, of course, should take some responsibility.
Go ahead, Lily.
But it's also, you know, the users need to take responsibility and... I'm not certain everybody does, because you can see from being in the bathroom today, people had taken toilet paper and hadn't disposed of it properly. So, you know, it's a question of taking pride in your community bathrooms.
Which sounds funny, but is deadly serious.
Yeah, absolutely, you know.
So you're with me, right? When a kid's gotta go, you have like 2 minutes... tops to get to a toilet. That's why every parent is afflicted with this kind of hyper toilet awareness. Okay, yes, there's one there. I wonder if I should stop and see if she wants to go, because the next one where is the next one? Oh, yeah, right, it's at that coffee shop, but I'll have to buy something. You know, this is par for the course for parents, but there's something else too.
I have on occasion gone to public washrooms and I've put both kids in the stroller, but I don't feel like closing the cubicle door because I want to be able to see them. So I've peed in the cubicle with the cubicle door open with my two kids staring at me, hoping to God that nobody is going to walk in.
They can't make bathroom stalls big enough for this kind of thing. Well, apparently not, because you know what? I've done it too. And here's something else. Tara and I have been walking for maybe half an hour now.
I know. You're always really good with it. See a car coming?
We're crossing Cogswell Street, the twin tree-lined boulevard that separates Halifax's North Commons from the Central Commons. And Tara is the one who's got to pee.
I can see nothing indicating that there's a washroom there. There's
no, there are bathrooms here.
Brick building.
But they're down a flight of stairs, and that's a definite no-go for Tara's stroller.
Excuse me. Can I ask you a question? You were just in the bathroom with three kids?
But some other parent has actually braved them, and here he comes up the stairs carrying one infant like a football under his armpit with two preschoolers running ahead.
How was that? I'm doing a documentary for CBC Radio on... bathroom availability, public bathrooms.
Well, you know, not good, to be honest. Next time it might be the bushes.
So you had all three?
Yeah.
Who had to go?
Well, she claimed she had to go, and then, you know, once she got in there, she had a different idea. I think she has a minimum standard that she goes by, so... Yeah, she decided that it wasn't worth it, and we just took off, I guess.
Okay.
This one's still in diapers, so... this is a little easier, but
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some more functional washrooms.
Yeah,
here.
Do you ever go all the way over to the other one when you're here at the playground?
Well,
oh, you better
with little people, that's too far. Natasha.
You know what? He's totally right. If a parent makes the call to go across the common, and there's no guarantee those bathrooms are going to be any cleaner, there's a big risk. He's going to end up in the middle of a bike path with a puddle to clean up. And you know what? It's not just kids.
When nature calls.
Kayla from Toronto, Ontario. We've been traveling since the beginning of August. Yes, I've had to use the bathroom many a time in Halifax. And, well, the public gardens was quite a far walk from where we were. I almost peed myself. It was quite the disaster. But I made it in time, luckily. It would have been very helpful if there were other public toilets available.
Have you ever had trouble if you had to go into a restaurant?
Oh yeah, a lot of the time. Most places won't let you in unless you buy something, but some places are nice, and sometimes if they don't like the looks of you, they just won't let you use the bathroom, because I guess, you know, sketchy people.
Whose problem is this? I mean, besides Tara's, whose immediate concern is the fact that she's got to go.
Hello, look at you all geared up. I'm just making a cup of tea.
Well, right now, it's Dawn Sloan's.
I hear a lot about the public toilets, actually, more than what you'd think.
Sloan is the counselor for downtown Halifax, and all these toilets are in her backyard, so to speak. She's in a heated four-way fight for her council seat, along with Jerome Downey, Cameron Ells, and James Stewie. But today, these toilets are all Dawn's.
People know that the public toilets are supposed to be public, open during the day. They're supposed to be a place where you can relieve yourself or help with a child who may be muddy or may have to use the washroom themselves. But what I'm hearing lately, or what I've heard in the past, and it's an ongoing problem, this never will ever die. This is an issue. When you have a public toilet, you're going to have these problems. One, people using it for the wrong reasons. Two, the security of the actual building or where the toilet is. And, of course, is it clean? That's one thing. I just watched a movie the other day, and it said in it, you know, this, or it was CSI, and they were saying, this is a public washroom. What do you expect? It's never clean. You know, and that's the perception everyone has of public toilets.
Okay, kids, take care of the fort.
Well, let's go check it out. And away we go to the Central Commons toilets. Remember the dad from earlier who said his preschooler standards were too high to use the bathroom here? We're going down the steps.
Flooring in here. I like the flooring. Seems to be
terrazzo flooring, I think it's called.
Whoa.
Oh,
hello.
Oh.
Graffiti. Yeah.
So describe what you're seeing.
I'm seeing a lot of graffiti by someone named Allison, or Alyssa. A lot of phallic symbols for a female washroom is what I'm thinking. Fight the future, something the past. Nice. Here's a great example of why we don't have mirrors in some of the other places. One of the mirrors is broken. Pieces of the jagged edge are not in sight. So either someone has taken it or they put it in the garbage.
What is that?
That looks like...
Yes.
Know,
what is it?
Like
it's an unlocked room. It's the size of a coat closet. Unlit. Empty. Filthy. Terrifying. And completely inexplicable.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. Well, it should be locked. We do have park patrols that go around and check inside the building, make sure everything's okay. But you can't be there every moment of the day. So maintenance-wise, same thing. How many people are actually frequenting the bathrooms? How long are they open for every day? Are they being closed down because they're becoming, you know, a haven for crime or a haven for issues? If that's the case, then how are we going to solve it? And that's when the perpetual cycle starts. You clean it up. The next day, there's graffiti on the outside walls. The next day, perhaps there's something going on illegal inside. Or you might have someone who is homeless who's actually using it as a place to bathe. So, you know, how do you solve those problems?
So the toilet paper
is sitting on the floor.
Because?
It looks like where it was attached over here with one of those toilet paper hangers was ripped off and is now missing.
Shall we dare the unknown and go into the men's?
Don and I are heading outside for a breath of air.
I mean, and that's just it. We're trying to give the public a service in which we all need. I mean, it's like breathing. You need to be able to use the washroom. You need to be able to do it in a safe space, and you have to do it and have the amenities to be able to, finish the deal. I know I'm making up all these puns about this, but I mean, there's nothing else you can do, really.
How hard can this be? I mean, something so basic and so universal, and yet so many places get it so wrong.
When nature calls.
It was a really nice day. The kids were frolicking in and out of the water, and I was sitting up on the near the ledge there, near the wall. I decided I had to use the facilities, and they were not too far away. I don't know if there's another set of washrooms around here. Oh, by the way, that sound that you hear is my oxygen. It sounds like a little drum beat. And I came around and came up the pathway, tootled in, and came around this barrier, says ladies, and there it was, a step. It's like a little barrier, but it's like a giant mountain with a wheelchair.
Okay, Lily, lead the way. Okay, and we're going to look for the bathrooms down here because Mommy drank too much tea this morning.
Tara Wright's double stroller is the exact same width as a wheelchair. And don't forget, she's still got to pee. And she's still got to find a bathroom that she can drive the stroller in and where there's a stall big enough to fit it, her, and her stuff. Closing the stall door, at this point, that would be a bonus.
I'm really happy, actually, that you're here with me because I know that I can actually go in and leave my children with you for 2 minutes. Well, I empty my bladder. This is nice because with a stroller,
bingo,
it's hard to get
the new bathrooms at the Halifax Public Gardens.
I would first check to see if I can fit Wyatt in. Well, maybe you can fit Wyatt in here. See my double stroller. Oh, sorry.
So we found it. A public bathroom that's wheelchair and stroller accessible. Clean, graffiti-free, and you know what? I gotta say, pretty darn nice-looking. It's the holy grail of Halifax bathrooms.
Okay, I'll flush it once.
Flushing to one!
Okay, my hand's over it, so you get onto the toilet.
I know.
But there is still one more problem. It's the same problem facing those bathrooms on the Commons, the ones on Halifax's waterfront, and ones in cities across the country. In a few weeks, they're all going to close for the winter. And what happens then, when even the bushes aren't an option? Still searching for the perfect place to pee. I'm Leslie Lowe in Halifax.
That's Leslie Lowe's documentary, When Nature Calls. And Leslie's in the studio with me to talk just a bit more about this. I noticed something through your piece. It seemed everybody you talked to was female.
Yes.
What's with that?
Alex, toilets are a women's issue. You know what? Not only that, toilets are the last frontier of feminism.
What?
I'm serious.
I wasn't expecting to hear that sentence this morning.
You know what? I'm using the words of Clara Greed there. I really... really wanted to go on a toilet walk with Clara Greed for this documentary. Clara is an urban planner, and she's a planning prof, too, at the University of the West of England. So you can imagine why I couldn't take her to the Halifax Commons to go on a walk, but I did call her up to talk toilets.
This is one of the last sort of outstanding, well, sort of leftover areas of deeply ingrained sexism, you know, that is so manifest in our cities.
That totally catches me. That is so heavy.
Yeah.
It completely catches
you know
me
what?
Off guard.
Tough talk gets tougher.
If you want to know the true position of women in society, look at the length of the queue for the toilets. This is really where we're at, isn't it?
It's
in spite
true.
Of all this so-called equality that we're meant to have nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Believe it.
At the risk of crossing her, you, I live with a woman. I understand part of what's going on here.
Watch it, Mason.
But it does seem to me women talk a lot more in the bathroom. Men don't talk.
You
Is
know,
that what accounts for the time, the shortage of facilities?
Maybe women talk in the bathroom, talk more than men in the bathroom. But that's got nothing to do with it. Let me hand it over to Clara and let her generally lay out what a woman's bathroom looks like.
Generally, in most countries, there are less public toilets for women than for men. Usually, if you've got a sort of equal-sized, equal floor space, men's toilet and ladies' toilet, because the men can get more facilities in, they can get a row of urinals in less space, generally you find that women have at least sort of half as much provision as the men.
Okay, she's got a point about the urinals.
It's true.
I think she's right. I never thought about that before. But for, yeah, women get a certain number of stalls and men get the stalls plus this extra added bonus.
You do the math and you've got double the provision as Claire
You're opening
says.
My eyes.
Good. Now, listen to this.
Women generally take longer to actually use the toilet, partly because of, you know, they've got a whole different issue about clothing. And also studies have shown that women usually actually physically take longer to urinate than men. So, plus also women might be menstruating as well. So altogether, it's a longer experience. Plus women tend to be more likely to wash their hands before leaving the toilet, whereas a lot of men just don't. So they just walk straight out. So that again also probably saves them time, but it spreads germs.
Alex, you heard my doc there. You heard the part where Dawn Sloan checks the soap. In the women's bathroom, there is no soap. But in the men's, oddly enough, there's copious amounts.
In the back of my mind, I'm wondering if this is going to spark numerous conversations during coffee after church services around the region. So, okay, women need more toilets. And listening to your documentary, I'm hearing that that's not the only issue. There's cleanliness. There's safety, too. And where toilets are located, there's a whole litany of problems.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so when we're building a new toilet, let's start with square one. How do we keep them clean?
Well, okay, so here's the question, back up a bit. How and where do we build the new toilets? And this is crucial, what do they look like?
What do you mean, what do they look like?
Okay, well, here's a question I asked Clara, given where our conversation was going. What would toilets look like if women designed them?
So they would be much more accessible, they'd be much better designed, they'd be much better cleaner, better funded, better looked after. And I don't think that people would be ashamed of them. You know, they'd be really splendid, important buildings where there would be facilities for people with disabilities, for children and babies and for, you know, all sorts of people, rather than just these sort of minimal things that we have now.
They'd be splendid.
They would. And that's kind of that's the crux of the problem as far as Clara and lots of other people are concerned. Most public bathrooms, you've been in public bathrooms, you know this, you can agree, they are so grotty and so gross and so institutional with those toilets that kind of look like, you know, in prisons with no lids. No one cares about them.
But who wants to spend a lot of money on something that's going to be spray painted or, you know, kicked or vandalized? And let's face it, a lot of low-level crime goes on in public bathrooms.
Sure, absolutely. Clara acknowledges that. But she says, and she's not the only one that says this, if you build toilets proudly, you make them architectural gems on the main thoroughfares of your city, they're more likely, in her words, to survive and be there for women and the men who need them.
You make good points. I'm thinking about a middle-aged, middle-class man.
Mm-hmm.
He's never dealt with the kind of issues that you're telling me women face. How do you justify to that guy that you want to use more of his tax money to build a big, splendid, flushing architectural gem?
Okay. How about this? I can answer this. Claire Greed likens building good toilets to, here's what she calls it, it's like oiling the wheels of capitalism.
With toilets, they're often seen as a drain on resources. People say, oh, toilets are too expensive and they keep on getting vandalized and it's just it's money down the drain, you know, building toilets and paying for them, maintaining them. But there have been studies, I think of English studies, but I know there are studies in other countries and also, for example, in North America and New York, studies that showed that toilets are actually beneficial. They actually increase the turnover, the retail turnover of areas. They increase the number of tourists coming into cities. Bathrooms mean business, as the Americans say. You know, it's the business case. It's the business argument that it's not a waste of money. It's part of the infrastructural development. And if you invest in good toilets, then that's actually going to encourage people to stay longer in the city centre or for tourists to be more willing to come to a city. Because, you know, the first thing, particularly with foreign tourists, the first thing they notice when they come to a different country or a different city, for that matter, is the toilets. You know, that will give the public toilets, that will give them a sort of total impression of what that country is like, because it's the first thing they're going to need. And very often they'll find the toilets are very smelly and revolting, or there aren't any of them, and that's going to, you know, get into their minds, and they say, well, that wasn't a very nice country. You know, the toilets were bad. So it's not a sort of waste. It's a very positive thing to invest in toilets. With lots of sort of financial spin-offs for the economy of the city and the country as a whole.
So there's Clara answering your question. And isn't that true? And it's even worse when you have a baby or small children, or if you're in a city or town you're not familiar with. And if the bathroom's gross and there's no change table, it doesn't leave you with a good impression.
Who knew there were studies about toilets? You've built a sound case, and you've done it in ways I would not have foreseen.
Women's rights, social justice, human rights, economic wheel greasing, tourism, it's all, you know, it's all there.
But we heard in your documentary that it's still not easy at this point to find a good public toilet. I've heard about those self-cleaning toilets. Can you give us a picture? Do you know about those?
Yeah.
What are they like?
Big tin can, basically. Bathroom. It's got a toilet, a sink. It's got a timer, so when the door slides closed, it's set 10 minutes, and then after 10 minutes, it gets sprayed down. It's kind of like being in a dishwasher.
Sprays itself down.
Yeah.
Is that an answer?
Well, Don Sloan thinks so. Don and my doc said, you know, that was a possible answer for the commons, build more self-cleaning toilets. But Claire agreed. She's seen them in action. She does not like them. She says they're like big tin cans. You have to pay to use them, which is an issue for some people. And then the timing is a problem. If it takes you a long time in the bathroom, if you have a medical condition, you're worried about being caught in there. Not great for women who might go in with two or three kids. Or like that father on the common, what would he do if he had the three kids? He had to change a diaper, get two kids up on the toilet? It's not going to happen
in 10
minutes.
The whole time your heart's beating fast because you don't want to get sprayed.
And then you're caught in the automatic dishwasher.
So that's not an answer, I guess.
No. And you know what? I think the answer lies in just putting a little bit of money into decent, nice-looking, well-designed toilets, and lots of them.
Leslie Lowe, thank you for a thought-provoking investigation.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Leslie Lowe is a freelance journalist in Halifax. We'd love to hear your own toilet tales, within reason. Call our answering machine. The number's 1-800-565-5463. Or send us an email. It's marmag@cbc.ca. And that's it for Maritime Magazine this week. But come back next Sunday with the federal election on and the issues of youth apathy rearing their heads again as usual. We're going to take a slightly different approach. We'll look at how kids learn to be good citizens and whether schools can do more to help them care about the political process. I'm Alex Mason. Have a good week. Talk to you then.